here, what is victory? Because I wanted to just share with that church in Gong Hills what they had, you know, again, who we are. And they beat me to the punch. They were all over it. But just the, you know, really what is, not victory as a church, but what victory in Jesus is, what it is to know Christ. And out of 1 Corinthians 15, sorry if I didn't tell you that already, verse 51 through 58, we read about the victory that comes through the cross and the power that that Jesus brings to his church. How many are there? Say amen. Glory to God, it's close enough. Verse 51 says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible shall have put on shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be always steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." Now, who here doesn't like winning? Amen? It's something that God's put in every one of us to want to win. No one is going to root, well, some people do, but I mean, who would root for a losing football team? Some people do, I know. Because it's where you're from, I get it. But who's just itching to join up with an army that they know is going to go into battle and be defeated? No one. No one in the right mind, at least. Where would you work at a job where there's no profit? And why in the world would you serve a God who's not able to save? Who's just a statue or just some idea or some a powerless entity? Our God is an awesome God, and he is well able to save. Amen. God put something in every one of us that makes us want to win. Now, we see in bookstores, you go into Barnes & Noble, whatever, any bookstore, and there's a whole section, whole rows on how to succeed, how to win. There is not one single book in there about how to lose. You know why? Because we don't need a book. It comes naturally. We don't have to do a single thing to fail at life. In fact, that's what a whole lot of people do. There's no effort. There's no anything put in it. Certainly, the Spirit of God is not applied to the areas of their lives. And consequently, scores and scores of humanity fail. But thank God for this fellowship, this church of Victory World Outreach. I was able to share that Wednesday night my testimony of how I came to Christ and the mess that my life was before, and just all the things that led up to it, and I'd shared that I'd grown up Catholic, and I'd heard, you know, a little bit about Jesus, but I'd never heard that I must repent and be saved. I must confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. And I was sitting about over there, and I heard these things for the first time, and I saw families, and I saw people that were happy, and it really made a difference in my life. I said, this is real. You know, I saw those same kind of real things over there in Kenya. Families that were, amen, put together. Husbands that loved their wives. Kids that listened to their parents, amen? That's important. So I thank God for this church and this fellowship, because that's what we're all about. Because we know that Jesus is the only way to get to this victory. Amen? Now, three things I want to share with you here this evening. Victory is unattainable without the cross. We had been all of us had been trying for ages, and for all the things that we'd done to try to obtain victory, to try to obtain something that was real, trying to grasp something that ultimately was just sand falling through our hands. But then we came to the cross. Then we came to that place of decision where we saw that there was a God who was greater than our needs, and certainly was greater than our own selves and our own ability to just figure things out. I'm good at figuring stuff out, but my problems were way beyond that. My problems were way beyond my ability to comprehend a solution, because they are. And your problems, amen, if you're in this place tonight and you're not saved, are far beyond your ability to fix. Your only solution is at the feet of Jesus. We are what we are only because of him. And we hear, and maybe we even hear a lot about forgiveness of sin. And sometimes, I know, it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But this is something that cannot be overlooked, because this is basically the fulcrum that all of our lives turn on. All of my life turned on the fulcrum of what happened right there at this altar. It was a 100% turnaround, 100% change, and it was only because of Jesus. Amen? What were you before Jesus forgave you? Where were you? What were you up to? And what did you have to do? What did you have to do to be saved? Work harder, do more, think, study? No, believe. Isn't that simple? Isn't that that was the thing that was beyond just to believe. Just believe on me and you will be saved, Jesus says. But now, you want to talk about a bargain. We were going through these markets, and now I was having a hard time with this. All right, so you're going through here, and people are just grabbing, brother, and they wanted to sell you everything they had in their store, and it was Evan told me, whatever it is, whatever price they tell you, it's at least half or less of whatever price they tell you. So I was able to get some good deals, but a better bargain than that is what Jesus did on the cross for us. We didn't have to do anything for it. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't have gotten it any other way. In fact, we've not just don't deserve it. We've actually spited God before. We blasphemed God right to his face. The forgiveness of God can't be found in any roadside vendor, and there's lots of those. It's an overwhelming scene in a lot of ways. It's only at the cross. When anyone simply believes on Jesus and surrenders to him, look at the results. That's what I saw when I came. I saw the results. I saw families. I saw people that had their lives put back together that were just a bunch of shattered pieces. And it was homes and the whole, you know what I'm talking about. And again, I believe there's some of you here that are right in that spot right now. And Jesus will change your life. But look at the results. It's amazing, amen? The second thing is that death eats victory. Now, when one team of a sports team, they play each other, they play, one wins, one loses, but they both go home at the end of the game, right? There's not one team that actually eats the other team, at least not in America, amen? But in verse 54, see, this is funny, but check it out here in verse 54. It says that death is swallowed up in victory. So these are two competing things. The death that came with sin and the victory that comes at the cross with the life of Jesus. And it wasn't just that to even say that Jesus won at the cross is almost an understatement. He swallowed up death. Ate it. It was completely gone. He swallowed it up completely. Who's ever heard of a winning team eating their opponents? Amen. Doesn't happen. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you go outside, what do you see? You see these very things. You see, honestly, once you peel back the cultural differences and the economic differences, I saw the same thing. Crime, drugs, alcohol, broken homes, on and on and on. Divorce. Same as America. Amen. We're not in some better position. Yeah, we got carpet, but there's a lot of people miserable on their carpet. And there's an awful lot of people happy on dirt. Praise God. I guess given the choice, I'd have to take that. I'd have to take peace in my heart. All these things, when we see the crime and the drugs and the alcohol, it's the evidence of death from sin. It's those wages being paid. It's all of those things that just come naturally to us. It is our nature. Sin is our nature. And it's whenever that nature is left to take over, instead of the nature of Christ, that's what happens. And many here were doing those things. They were dying, and they were continuing on until they'd had enough and they believed on Jesus. And in a moment, that death that was working was put to a halt. It was swallowed up by the life of Jesus. All the sinning, the dying, the lying, and all of the sin. It was taken away and swallowed up by the life of Christ. And a new life with Jesus begins. And I remember that was one thing I said. I didn't know anything. When I came to this, I didn't know anything. Still don't know anything, amen? But one thing I did know when I came here, very first day, I needed Jesus. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know anything. But I knew I needed, but he gave me that new life just by faith. Sin is swallowed up at the cross, and what God intended from the beginning is what's left over. That's a clean heart. That's a clean soul. That's a man or a woman of God who's ready to be with him in heaven. You say, well, but people still die. How is death swallowed up in the victory of the cross? Well, glory to God. If you read there in verses 50 through 54, that is the resurrection power of Jesus for his church. That is us being caught up and swept away with him and being forever with him at the right hand of God. And glory to God, that's only for the church. Amen. If you don't believe, if you haven't been saved, then it's not for you. And that was another important thing that Pastor Paul told us. And I actually asked a man that, our Uber driver at one point, as we were getting shuttled around, I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He says, yes. I said, are you saved? He says, no. See, it's not enough to have a Christian background or a Christian upbringing, because that's a Christian name or whatever. It's not enough just to know about Jesus. It's not enough just to have heard good Christian doctrine or to have grown up in a Christian home. It's what have you done with Jesus? Are you saved? Do you believe in Christ? Has he changed your life? And if that's the case, that resurrection power is going to come over and turn things around for you. For believers, even physical death has no power. So what can this world do to you? Nothing. Amen? Nothing. The thing about it, if you've got an eternal life, there's nothing that anyone can do to you. There's nothing to fear. Amen? Because of our King, King Jesus, we are an unstoppable army. Third thing, victory propels us forward. It propels us forward and shows us where to go next. As I was preaching there in Gong Hills is the name of this city where I was able to preach, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. Gong with an N, that's how they spell it. What I saw was and Pastor Paul was sharing with me, this Pastor Paul Ekwe is the pastor in this church. Pastor Paul was sharing with me about his story and about how he came with, about his testimony, how he came to Christ, and I mean, came from the backwoods. But here he is now. He's a pastor, and God has given him dignity, and he's able to stand in front of these people. And I mean, full. Amen. He's popping at the seams. God is propelling his church forward. God is propelling the churches of Victory World Outreach forward. Amen. We're not going backwards. We're going forwards. Glory to God. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ has been given the task of preaching the gospel to the whole world. And having flown for an awful long time now, this is a big world. It takes a long time to get anywhere. But yet, despite the size, despite how big this earth is and the raw numbers of people and all of the sin that's encompassed in there, God knows how big that task is, and he knows how we as a church can reach around the world. And maybe you're never able to go, maybe you're whatever, but we can do. And we can't be in every single home, in every single city, in every single place, glory to God, at least not yet. But we can do what we can do. We can be right where we are and do what God has put right in front of us to do. Who do you know that needs to hear the good news of the gospel? And how can you give in a way to make it possible so that we can go around the world? Because the gospel is, amen, it doesn't, angels don't just go around and start telling people that that Jesus saves. He sends men and women to bring the word of God to people, and that takes resources, amen? So can you give in a way that will facilitate that? How can you be in agreement with your pastor and your church to grow this church and this fellowship and to plant new churches? How can you be in agreement? It's not enough just to show up, folks. I figured that out really fast. God filled me with the Holy Ghost right down here on a Wednesday night, and it was my first mistake was asking, hey, do you need help? Amen. And it's been all uphill since then, glory to God. You find out who you are in a church. Don't look at yourself and say, that's impossible. God can't do, because you know you, and I get that. I know me. And sometimes I think, man, it's how is this possible? With God, all things are impossible, amen. You think, how is it possible to preach the gospel to the whole world? It is possible because we're a victorious church. We're on a winning team today, amen. We're on a winning team. We have a winning strategy. We have a winning message, and it's not just words. It's not just a product, certainly. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives. And I can tell you from personal experience, and there's hundreds of people in this room right now who can tell you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You know, we're going to pray here tonight. If we could just bow our head and close our eyes. There's nothing that God can't do. And particularly when it comes to your life. You see, there's all kinds of things going on in the world, and there's all kinds of things taking place, and sometimes the news and things like that can seem like such a whirlwind. But God doesn't really care about those things. He cares about you. He loves you. He came to earth for you. He allowed himself, he wasn't murdered, but he allowed himself to be put to that cross, nails through his hands and feet for you and for me, so that we could have new life, so that you could be transformed, so that you could be turned around, and that from that point, all those things in your past were exactly that, in your past. Old things can be made brand new. And maybe you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never asked him to come into your heart. Maybe you've been struggling with this question. Who is God? Why does he care about me? Where is my life headed? How can this thing turn around? Jesus has all your answers. He is your answer. Jesus is your answer. Whatever your question is tonight of your future, that it looks impossible, it looks unattainable, it looks like you can never get there, Jesus is your answer. Put it in his hands. Let him take the reins. Let him take the wheel of your life. And he'll do it. How many all over this place say, that's me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved tonight. Just put your hand up and put it right back down all over this place. Just put it up and put it back down. Amen. See these hands. How many more? Yeah. God bless you. How many more? Yeah. How many more? Yeah. Amen. See your hand. God bless you. You know, maybe you've been in and out of sin. Maybe you've been in and out of the world. And you're ready to make a commitment tonight. You're ready to turn this thing around. How many of you be honest and say, that's me. I'm a backslider and I need to get things right with God tonight. Just put your hand up. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Yes. How many more? Yes. Lord Jesus, thank you. There's hands all over. Amen. Nothing God loves more than an honest heart. You know, Pastor, Pastor Jones preached about the Holy Ghost and just the water of the Holy Ghost. One thing that was striking about Kenya, particularly with the contrast, we landed here into Denver last night, and it was so brown, but it's so beautiful and lush and green, and it rained fairly often, and just the stark contrast, just the life. You know, maybe you're feeling dry. Maybe there's something you feel there's just an emptiness. You're seeking God. And you need that water, that moisture of God, that Holy Spirit, just to rain on you. We're going to open up these altars here in just a moment. I want to encourage you just to come forward, and we're going to find a place at this altar and pray. In fact, if we could just all just stand, let's stand all over this place. And if that's you, certainly, if you raised up your hand, can I pray with you down here at the altar? Why don't you come forward? Praise God as we sing. I want you to come forward, and we want to pray. There's someone that's going to pray with you. And.